This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Before we get to our friend Ray Fittipaldo, who you see if you were watching on our YouTube feed, Ray, who is on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. I know we'll keep talking about the Buccos as the show goes on. Austin, somebody I do want to give credit to for how they performed in game one, somebody who I got on a lot last season, and I wasn't alone. I thought Ke'Bryan Hayes actually played a pretty nice game.
Yeah.
Defensively, Andy had a hit.
I thought he was solid. He had the first hit of the season for the Pirates, so I'll give him credit for that.
And defensively, he helped turn a big double play in the late inning. So I do want to give some credit there where it's due. But now we do chat with our pal Ray Fittipaldo, who is brought to you by the Western Pennsylvania injury attorneys Larry Kelly and Joe George from LGKG, your home team. Ray, before we get to football, did you get a chance to watch your Buccos yesterday?
I did, Donnie, and about the eighth and ninth inning, I thought I was watching a replay from last year. Holderman blowing a hold and then Bednar blowing a save. So
yeah, it was very reminiscent of what we were used to seeing in late 2024, Ray. So I don't know. It's game one. I don't want to overreact. They do play a lot of these. But I guess they can't go 162-0 this season, like we all may have hoped. Ray, the latest update on Aaron Rodgers is that the Vikings, as of two nights ago, they're not completely out on this. They said, yeah, they want J.J. McCarthy as their quarterback, but they'll keep that avenue open for Rodgers if something changes. Are we really any closer to this than we were 7 days ago, 14 days ago, even 21 days ago, Ray?
I mean, first off, what a way to build confidence in your young quarterback if you're the Minnesota Vikings. That whole thing, I think, is holding up this entire process. So I've kind of given up guessing on when Rodgers is going to decide. I guess, you know, like the showman in Rodgers says, well, watch that April 9th date because that's when the McAfee show is in Pittsburgh. I don't know. Are we really to that point where this is going to be announced on like a television show? So I don't know. I mean, I don't think we're any closer. I mean, if you had to ask me right now, I still think it's going to be Rodgers, but I've just given up trying to guess when it's going to take place.
And this isn't a shot at McAfee and the boys. You know, they're having their big night out on April the 9th. It sold out in, I think, under 30 minutes, which is another credit to them. But if something like that actually happened, Ray, wouldn't that just be an awful look for pro football team?
Yeah, I mean, it's like the LeBron James, the big announcement on ESPN, right? Was that 15 years ago, whenever that was, when he went to Cleveland, or he went from Cleveland
to
Miami. Yeah, so I don't know. You would think if the Steelers had anything to say about that, they would put the kibosh on it, but I don't know that they have anything to say. I mean, listen, if Aaron Rodgers signs with them, I don't think the Steelers are going to stand in his way of doing his weekly appearances on Pat's show. I mean, the Steelers themselves have people who go on Pat's show. So, I don't know. Buckle up. We might be in for some drama here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think that's something that some people have wondered, Ray. How much would they let Rodgers do his typical Aaron Rodgers stuff. Well, I've kind of come around to, if Aaron Rodgers does sign with the Steelers, they're not going to stop anything. I mean, they're already kind of chasing this guy around like he's an elementary school crush, and if he ends up choosing them, they have to put up with his schedule and whatever he likes to do, as odd as some of it may be.
Well, I mean, he does it on Tuesdays on his day off. And honestly, if you're Mike Tomlin, Donnie, could it be any worse than having Ben Roethlisberger do his show like at 11 on your station and then have Mike have to follow him and like answer questions in his press conference about what Ben said? So I think Mike sort of probably views it as, hey, I've been through this before. I'm sure I can handle it if it's Aaron Rodgers this time.
Now, what about when it comes down to things like OTAs and mandatory mini camp, and even when it gets to training camp? If Rodgers wants to hang out in Egypt like he did last season with the Jets instead of being at mandatory mini camp, are the Steelers going to bow down to that? I think that's another question that people have.
I think there's, you know, probably a professional courtesy there. I don't know the details of why Rodgers went to Egypt last year. I'm assuming that was pre-scheduled, you know, before he knew he was going to be a Jet. Or, you know, maybe there was a mix-up in the schedules. I don't exactly know what happened there. But from a professional courtesy standpoint, if you have other obligations travel-wise, I would assume you would do it in OTAs and you would be there for the mandatory part. Because I think Aaron knows, and the Steelers certainly know, that an absence like that would cause some ripples and some waves. I mean, we went through it last year. You know, Cam Hayward didn't show up for, I think, the first or second OTA, and people thought it was the end of the world. Then he showed up, and, you know, he was a captain, and he did what he had to do. So I'm not even saying Aaron Rodgers would be a captain, but as the quarterback of a football team, I think being there for the mandatory stuff is, you know, that should be expected.
After the season, Ray, we heard Art Rooney, too, talk about how he wanted to have one of the two quarterbacks from last season back, whether it be Justin Fields or Russell Wilson, and that didn't happen. How do you think that all played out? Do you think it truly was their plan to have one of those two guys back, and did the conversation ever waver after Rooney came out and said that to say, well, do we want either of these two guys back, and they had more of a conversation about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously we know Fields was their number one choice. And then after he went to the Jets, I think everything just became, okay, let's reevaluate this. Can Russell Wilson get along and be productive within the structure that we have here? Okay. Should we go after Aaron Rodgers? Aaron Rodgers was just released. So I think those conversations take place after Justin Fields is no longer an option. And really, Donnie, it's going to make for some really interesting Q&As down there at the owners' meetings in a couple of days. I think Mike is meeting with the local media on Saturday, and I think Omar, and then I assume Art also will have an opportunity to speak, I think, either, you know, Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday. Those meetings go on for 3 or 4 days. So, you know, we'll see what those guys have to say. But, yeah, obviously – something changed there from late January until that second week of March when Rodgers became available.
When did the Aaron Rodgers thing start to become a reality or a possibility for you? Like, just your inkling as somebody who covers the team or is a fan of the team, whatever it may be in that case. But in your case, you've been covering them for years now. For me, when they made that trade for DK Metcalf, part of me felt they might have an interest in Aaron Rodgers now more than they did 5 minutes ago. So, like, when was it for you that it flipped, that thought Aaron Rodgers, Steelers quarterback, was a real possibility?
I think probably a few days before the legal tampering period, when the deal with Justin wasn't going to get done before, you know, noon on that Monday, you start thinking, okay, is he really going to go to the Jets? And then I think, you know, around that time, I thought it was really going to be, you know, a point of discussion. You know, just being around that team all year, knowing the stories that were reported, you know, with Russell's relationships, not necessarily among the players. I think that was very solid, but just working, you know, game planning. Here's what I want to do. This is what you want to do. We're not really on the same page. You know, at that point when Justin left, it was like, okay, can we really do this again with Russell when we kind of know what it was? And then I think, you know, Darnold became in play for a day, and then Rodgers, and here we are now, what, three and a half weeks later, and, you know, we're still kind of in the same boat.
Talking to Ray Fittipaldo, he covers the Steelers for the Post-Gazette. It is 11:16 right now. Time to make that call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums at 724-443-5610. Ray, you put out your recent full seven-round Steelers mock draft earlier, and I got to say, I am all in on the guy you had at 21st overall. I think that would be maybe not like a dream scenario, but that's probably the top name for me that the Steelers could call at this point at 21.
Yeah, isn't it interesting that all the national media is on the quarterback and all the local media, it seems, are still, they're going to pick D-line. I don't know who's going to be right. You know, Donnie, until they have a quarterback signed, I suppose a quarterback could be in play, you know, anywhere, even including 21. But I think back to that playoff game in January, how they were embarrassed, and just knowing how Omar and Andy want to build this football team. They've addressed offensive line in their first two drafts, and now I think it's time for the defensive line to be addressed too. So we'll see how it unfolds. They got a lot of needs. You know, running back is a need. You know, receivers maybe on the back burner a little bit since the Metcalf trade. But I went D-line in my first three mock drafts. I got one more. I'm going to write that one as soon as the top 30 visits are over. And nothing has changed my mind since January that's going to be a D-lineman.
Yeah, Kenneth Grant being that player at 21st overall, the defensive lineman from Michigan. Now, some people a little bit alarmed, Ray, because the Steelers did not have a huge presence at Kenneth Grant's pro day because they had that meeting with Aaron Rodgers last week. So how much do you hold that into account, more so the idea of if they bring Kenneth Grant in for one of those official visits? I think that's a lot more serious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, if he comes in for a top 30 visit, then you'll know that, you know, he's definitely someone that they're seriously thinking about. I don't know this. I know Mike and Omar had to stay back, but I'm assuming the Steelers had some people at Michigan's pro day. So it's not like they ignored that totally. And, yeah, so just watch those visits. You know, I think they've done 8 or 10 so far. You know, it's pretty evenly divided between D linemen, running backs, receivers, and quarterbacks right now. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. They got about 20, 22 more. So those will be very telling in the process about, you know, who they might be drafting here in another month or so.
I was told that it might have been Terrell Austin that was at Michigan's pro day. I mean, he wouldn't really have to be there for the meeting with Aaron Rodgers, so I guess that would make some sense. And that's certainly a big wig in the Steelers headquarters.
And listen, they could have gone, I don't know if they did this or not, but they could have gone the night before, wined and dined those guys, and just flew back whenever they found out they had to meet with Rodgers too. So it's not like they were totally ignoring Michigan's pro day. That's a staple on their pro day tour, just like Ohio State, Notre Dame, and, you know, all the other big ones too.
They were at another big one the other day, Ohio State's pro day. Now, you don't have any Ohio State players being selected by the Steelers, but it did seem like they had their eyes on quite a few prospects from the Buckeyes, which is a program that just spits out pro players every single season.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the two running backs, I think if they still had a second round pick, Donnie, I think Henderson and Judkins, you'd be talking a lot more about them. There's no way Henderson is going to be there in round three. Now, Judkins, you know, he ran so well at the combine. I have a hard time believing he'd be there at 83 too. So, you know, dealing that second round pick to Metcalf really does take a lot of guys out of play. Like, In my second mock draft, I had them taking Alfred Collins, another D tackle. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of guys like in that 30 to 60 or 75 range who, you know, the Steelers aren't going to be in play for now unless they trade back in. So that's the tough part about doing this particular mock draft. We'll see if they make a deal before draft day to get another pick back. But it's harder to fill those holes knowing that they dealt away two picks to acquire DK Metcalf.
Do you think they want to work their way back into the second round?
I mean, at the right price. I mean, you're not going to give away George Pickens for, you know, what you don't think he's worth. I mean, that would be silly. But yeah, I think if there's an opportunity there for them to recoup a pick, I think they would definitely think long and hard about it.
If a team offers them a pick in the 50s, whether it's the low 50s or the upper 50s, do you think they would take that? If let's say it's draft night. Let's say it is night two of the draft and a team says, you know what, we will trade the, I don't even know like what team is picking at the 54th overall pick. We'll trade that for George Pickens.
Yeah, I don't know what they're thinking on that. If you're asking me my personal opinion, I would do that in a heartbeat. And listen, they've never been afraid to trade receivers before. So just knowing their history there, I would not discount that possibility happening on draft day.
Now, the other thing with DK Metcalf's contract, it's not quite what we heard or was reported right off the bat. Like, the contract is a little bit wonky to where it's really only 2 years, I believe, in Pittsburgh where they can kind of get out of it after that, or like all of the guarantees are out the window after that. It's not what we were told, a 5-year deal for Metcalf when that trade first got reported.
Yeah, but they did guarantee him a lot of money. I think that's, you know, usually they would just guarantee the first year. Just the way the business is going now, Donnie, you almost have to acquire and sign guys like that. You know, they sort of did that with TJ Watt a few years ago for the first time. Now they're doing it with DK Metcalf. It's just a sign of the time. So they are guaranteeing him more money. I forget what the cap hit would be if they had to walk away from that after just 2 years, but it would be quite significant, Donnie. So I think the Steelers plan on DK being around for a while. Yeah, there's that out after year two, but I think they would be penalized pretty heavily there, I think, in terms of a dead cap hit if they did decide to get rid of him after the second year.
You do have them taking a wide receiver late in the draft, so not really somebody that would come in here and make an immediate impact. How do you think they feel about their receiver room right this minute?
Well, I mean, right now with George and DK on the outside, you know, you would hope Calvin Austin can be a solid four. Roman Wilson, you know, takes that step, become a four or a five. They really don't have a true three, if you ask me. Maybe Calvin Austin can step into that role. I don't really view him that way. I think he's a solid player, but I don't know that his long-term upside is going to be as a strong number three. So there's still a little bit light there. But, yeah, I mean, in terms of starters and quality targets on the outside, I think it's one of the top rooms in the AFC now when you talk about talent. Now we need George to pick it up and, you know, kind of play every week and play to his potential. If that happens, they're going to be more than solid.
Should we have any sort of expectation of Roman Wilson being a real contributor?
I mean, you would hope so. You know, just going back to last year's pre-draft process, Mike Tomlin spent a lot of time with him at the Senior Bowl. He came in here for a visit. They liked him. You know, he got hurt early, never really recovered, got hurt again. So maybe you give him a pass there. But, yeah, you certainly expect him to take another step. And he's not a young guy. I mean, I think he stayed for – you know, 4 years at Michigan, and, you know, he's mature, and I think he's going to have an opportunity to, you know, prove that the Steelers were right in selecting him in the third round.
You also have the Steelers, and you've done this a couple of times in your mocks leading up to the 25 draft. You have them doubling up again at defensive line in this one. Kenneth Grant was the 21st overall pick, and then C.J. West, the defensive lineman from Indiana, in the fifth round. Should we pretty much expect that? We've heard so much about how deep the defensive line group is, and the Steelers certainly hurting at that position on the field. We've also seen a tendency from Omar Khan, Andy Weidel on draft weekend to double up at a particular position. They've done it in their first two drafts. Should we pretty much expect that defensive line will be addressed not once but twice?
I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know if you want to say expect. I mean, Donnie, their moves in free agency with D linemen were so minor. I mean, Okwale started some games last year for the Patriots, but that was the first time he's ever started games in the NFL. I think he's 30, 31 years old. Mm-hmm. They made another minor signing. I mean, no one's cheering that they re-signed Loudermilk. We don't know what's going to happen with Leal. You know, he's coming off an injury. So, yeah, I think everything points to them probably selecting two. But again, when you trade draft picks the way they did to get Metcalf, you know, you do have other needs. So, if they had eight picks, I would say, yeah, double down definitely. But now that you have fewer, it's less of a possibility, but I still went with it in this mock.
Seems like Isaiah Loudermilk and James Pierre, those guys have more lives than a cat, Ray. Like, they are just on the Steelers roster at some point every season.
What about Daniel McCullers? Didn't McCullers come back like 6 or 7 years? He kept signing.
Yeah, he hung around for contracts. A while. Yeah. Man, that was a massive body that didn't pan out. That dude was a monster, like his frame.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, Loudermilk, I understood the pick. He's got the frame. He hasn't developed yet. Bring him back for one more year. I don't think his spot on the roster is secure. I mean, the Pierre thing, I don't think they view him as a guy that's going to play a lot in their defense, but he's a really good gunner, and you do need special teams players. So I think – you know, they like him in that role, and I think that's the reason that he's back.
83rd overall pick, Ray. You have the Steelers taking a quarterback, Tyler Shuck out of Louisville. His stock has been rising a bit. Now, he's an older player. He's already, 24 or 25 years old. He's not quite Brandon Whedon, but he's close enough to it. Do you think he is, like, the leader in the clubhouse, though, for that – middle tier of quarterback in this draft, or how do you view how those guys kind of hash out?
Nah, I think the Steelers are doing their homework on a lot of those guys, and I think they're probably going to let some things, you know, fall. I don't think they're going to reach for a quarterback, but I mean, let's face it, they had to trade up to get Mason Rudolph in the third round. So quarterbacks come up draft boards all the time. You know, people say wait to the fourth round. Donnie, that would be ideal. But a lot of times, it's the most important position on a football team, and these guys get pushed up. And in terms of the age, I'm not concerned about the age as much as I am about the injuries. The injuries are a real concern. You bounced around a bunch of colleges because of that. So that's a real thing, and you do have to get comfortable with that. I'm sure when he came in, you know, the doctors gave him once over and, you know, checked him out. But, to me, the age – for a quarterback, I mean, those guys play, you know, 12, 15 years if you're any good. The injuries are, you know, what would concern me.
Limits, do you care if I ask Ray a few free association questions?
Donnie, I would love you to.
I won't really be quite to the Starkey level, Ray. Don't worry. percentage chance as of right now, Aaron Rodgers is the Steelers' week one starting quarterback.
Man, I think I said 60 last week. I'll still stick with 60, but. Who knows?
Will the Steelers go back on that if Aaron Rodgers requests to wear number 12?
They won't give him 12.
What if he wants number 0?
Are quarterbacks allowed to wear 0?
I actually don't know the rule. They're allowed to wear 1, and I know that they are afraid to give that number out. I guess they just have a favor to pay to Gary Anderson.
When I was a kid, there was a guy by the name of Jim Otto who was double 0. He was center.
One of the all-time greats.
Kenny Burrows was a receiver for the Houston Oilers, also 00. You don't see too many of that.
So what if, and it does sound ridiculous me saying it, And I don't think Rodgers will do it, but, I mean, you can't put anything past the guy. What if he said, I will only sign here if you let me wear one of your restricted numbers, 0, 1, or 12? Do you think they'd tell him to get lost?
No, I mean, who cares about 0 or 1? I mean, give him that. But to me, if you're going to give him 12, you would have to, like, get Bradshaw involved, see if it would be okay with him. Like, that's like 32, 12, 58.
They got a lot of they have a lot of unofficial retired numbers.
Those are special numbers, and
they gave Pouncey's number to a guy that couldn't even play center right away.
I know, but I don't know, Donnie. I mean, I'm 52 years old. And I got a sweet spot for those guys from the 70s. Don't give away 12, 32, 58. Those are special numbers.
He's going to hash out number 8 between Kenny Pickett, Tommy Maddox, and Corliss Waitman.
Yeah, I think we're okay with number 8.
Thank you, Ray.
All right, Donnie. I'll talk to you next week.
There we go. Ray Fittipaldo. Check out his stuff at the Post-Gazette. A good 7-round mock from Ray. I didn't give away every single pick, but some of them I am certainly a fan of. Kenneth Grant, 21st overall, would be enticing to me. 412-928-9370. Get back to some of your Pirates calls here. I still see a few folks on the line. You can also hit us up on the fan text line at 412-928-9370. That's brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Let's get back out to some of those calls here. Steve is in Moon and wants to talk Buccos. What's up, Steve?
Yes, how you guys doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Good. What do you got?
Good. So with Derek Shelton, I just wondering, you know, when he's going to take accountability for pretty much anything. They just got out of spring training, and to have a half dozen either errors or defensive miscues is unacceptable. I mean, what were the guys doing down there at the beach and watching movies all day? I mean, this is where you're supposed to hash out all the little kinks, and I know you guys talked about Cruz and Rodriguez, but even Joey Bart, the two pass balls, Felter with his miscues. I mean, this is the kind of stuff you got to iron out at spring training so it just doesn't happen. So I don't know. I mean, you guys have touched on a lot of that, but I don't think Shelton, he just basically, all right, guys, it's all right, we'll get him next time, you know, type of attitude, and just doesn't take ownership or accountability for anything. So.
Yeah, Steven, some of the other stuff that I've seen is, well, would you rather have the Pirates work out the kinks now and be running on all defensive cylinders by the middle of the season? Well, yeah, sure, I would, but here's the problem with that. I have my doubts that if they do try to work out the kinks now, they will still be trying to work out those same ones midway through the season. Like, it's not a guarantee to me that their defense will get that much better. That's what's sad. Because over the course of season by season under this regime, it's not really giving me confidence that the Pirates defense will be that much better midway through the season because it's not good right now. Gary is in the North Hills. What's going on, Gary?
Hi, Donnie. Happy Friday. Hey, I've been hearing all the chatter about the Pirates today. We watched the game last night, and you know, I'm not trying to excuse some of the sloppy play. Absolutely not. But one thing I haven't heard is that, you know, the bottom of the eighth inning here, there were two guys on, two outs. It was a 3-2 count, and a pitch that was clearly, not on the borderline, was clearly a strike. I called a ball. We get that call, inning's over, the number of pitches in the eighth inning are cut down dramatically, and we head into the top of the ninth up two runs. That pivotal point, I think these guys battled, and again, I'm not discounting the sloppy play, but I just want to make sure we give them credit for what they did do, and I think some of this was out of their hands, and I think we got a bad call, and it really turned the game for us in a bad way.
Yeah, Gary, I know that exact pitch you're talking about. It was a, I think, 1-2 count. Holderman on the mound in the eighth inning. There were two outs, and the pitch was right there. I mean, it wasn't quite right down the middle, but it was certainly in the strike zone, and it was missed. That's where I think maybe you get those robo-umps into play here. You can still have the human body behind a home plate, but a robo ump would not miss that call. And like Gary said, the Pirates would go into the ninth inning with a two-run lead instead of a tie game, and that could be a whole lot different.